Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. I know there might be some of you out there that would probably consider yourselves maybe expert fishermen, maybe right now in the season of ice fishing, or even when there's not ice fishing, you go out and get on a boat, enjoy fishing. My most experience with fishing is actually in Wisconsin, even though I haven't really even fished since I've been here in these 6 years. When I was a kid, I'd come up with my parents, my family. My parents grew up in Wisconsin, my parents grew up on my dad grew up on a farm, and they had a fishing pond down the way. And one of my biggest memories from that was actually going to fish with cousins, but especially my grandfather. He died when I was, I think, a freshman in high school, lived to be 90, but didn't spend a ton of time with him, but those times fishing. I do remember that, just going down, and he loved doing that, and it was a good time that we got to do that. And maybe for you as people that like to go fishing, that's part of what it is, to go with other people, to spend time with them. You might be one of those people that you'd rather just go by yourself, right? But I think for a lot of people, fishing and getting out there in the water is about who you're spending that time with. Today, as we look at our lesson and how Jesus helps these fishermen, we're going to learn some lessons from fishing with Jesus. Spending some time with Jesus and how he encouraged us to go fish, but then also just that encounter with Jesus and how we react to him as well. I think fishing's an interesting example because is fishing easy? That might be why some of you don't really like to go fishing, because you can go out there and you can spend all day, and how many fish do you get? None, maybe a couple. Unless you're really good, then you get a ton. But you could go out there, and then it's unreliable. It could get windy, could get rainy, the weather, all these different things. But fishing can be really frustrating. It's hard at times. And so I think that's a challenge for us. And we see that especially here with Peter and the disciples. They were professional fishermen, but as Jesus is preaching and teaching, Jesus is going to call him out to go put his nets down. But in verse 5, he said, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Not always easy. Even these professional fishermen caught nothing. We talk about fishing in the sense of catching fish. We also want to think about fishing for men or fishing for people and sharing the gospel. Is fishing and sharing the gospel, trying to get people to hear the gospel and to know about Jesus, also frustrating? Why can it be frustrating? Well, are you always confident in what you know? Are there all sorts of things out there that are speaking against Christianity? The last few weeks, we've talked about popularity and failure, and how just because something is popular or something's not popular doesn't make it true. So you might not be confident. You might be up against a lot of hard teachings. Someone might say, well, how can you speak these words? There's all these other religions, and are you being judgmental? Sometimes you forget a passage. Sometimes you're trying to share maybe law, which is hard. Sometimes you're trying to share gospel, and people don't like that either. So we see how fishing for people can also be difficult, can be very frustrating. Well, what can we learn from what Peter does here is, as Jesus is preaching and teaching, it says that people are listening to the word. Then he got into Simon's boat. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. He's sharing God's word. Then we see after he's done, he sends Peter out again, put down into deep water, and let down the nets for a catch. Simon says that they haven't caught anything, but he says, because you say so, I will let down the net. He trusts Jesus, possibly because of all the things he's been doing. We also know that many miracles have been done. We know that he healed his mother-in-law, either right before this, right after that. All these miracles are going on, and so Peter trusts him and goes out in God's word, by the word of Jesus. What happens is he catches such a large catch of fish. What can we think about that for us is we need to go out and fish with Jesus. Don't forget, don't go out without Jesus. What happens when I go out and I evangelize, when I kind of leave the gospel out of it? What do I make it all about? Maybe I make it all about myself, or I'm leaning only on my ability. Maybe focus so much on just trying to win an argument instead of getting them to Jesus. And really understanding this is a long process sometimes, and you have to break down barriers, but understanding Jesus is so essential to all this. If I don't have Jesus, if I'm not using the gospel, then what am I using? And we can go out and we can get so frustrated because we're not catching fish, we're not doing anything, but notice what happens is right over here, Jesus has prepared people for the gospel. And the worst thing we can do is just stop, but to go back maybe and to say, how can I bring Jesus more into this? How can we ask God to help us and to guide us in our fishing, in our sharing the gospel? Because what happens is our failures help us to see also our lack and our limitations. This is what happened for Peter, right? As he lets down the nets, has this great catch of fish, so much that their nets are breaking, the boats are sinking. And so Peter approaches Jesus, and he falls on his knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." One of the interesting things, I think, also about why it's good to go fishing, and when you think about that, you got that time to reflect. You think about a lot of things, and then even just the picture of sitting on water, and you can look and you can see yourself. The truth that happens here is Peter sees himself. He sees a reflection of who he is, an honest reflection that he is his sinful, that he doesn't measure up, he can't do it, he's been trusting in himself, and he's lost. But what does Jesus do in that honest reflection? As the law hits, he tells him these beautiful words, "Don't be afraid." As we are out there fishing, we have our honest reflections, but also cast off fear. Get rid of that fear. That's what Jesus does. That's what God does. As people are convicted by the law, and as he wants to send them out, notice here, this picture is so similar to what we read in Isaiah, isn't it? As Isaiah sees God, he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man of these people were all sinful. I can't go and do this." And so he uses that cold, touches his lips, says, "Here's the gospel. You're forgiven. Your sins have been taken away." This is exactly what Jesus does with Peter. He says, "Don't be afraid." Now, notice he doesn't say, "Well, Peter, you're not a sinful man." Notice he doesn't correct him and say, "Oh, yeah, you're pretty good. No, I'm here to show you how great you are." He lets that stand, that he's a sinful man, but he says, "Don't be afraid." This is what the gospel does, is it removes that fear. It removes the fear and encourages us to understand we are forgiven so that we can go share that gospel message. And if I see that gospel message, if I'm going out in Jesus, then I can share Jesus. And if I understand my sinfulness, then I'm not going to go out hypocritically. And I can say, God has come to die for the sins of the world. And that includes you. But who's called to do this? Notice here that Jesus speaks to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up to shore, left everything, and followed him. Who was called? He calls Peter, but it says, then they left everything and followed him. Peter was called. James and John were called. They were called to go and share this message. Who's called to share about the gospel? Truth is, not just pastors, but you are called to do this. You are called to fish, but you're not alone. It's kind of fascinating to think about this, that here Jesus is, the perfect God, the Son of Man, and he's going out to go do his ministry, but he doesn't even go alone. That Jesus didn't say, well, I'm just going to go share this all by myself. I don't need anyone. Jesus needed people to go help and share that gospel message. So do pastors need help? Does our church need help to understand that we are all called to share this gospel message? To go out. But to understand you're not alone. That you have all the people here, that you have the whole Christian body that is going out to support you and to help you. Do you need to have all the answers? Do you need to be able to answer every objection that someone has? No. But as we sang about, you can speak about Jesus. You don't have to preach like Paul. You can give this great message that Jesus loves you. What's kind of fascinating to look at is who can do this. When we were in China, some of the greatest missionaries that were there, do you want to guess who they were? We had a family that, so there was pastors that were called that went over, but then also we call lay missionaries, so teachers, other people that weren't just sent by the synod as pastors. One family was a family from South Dakota. They had two parents, and they brought over three kids. And you know who some of the greatest missionaries were? Those kids. Who at the bus stop would talk to just about anyone, would share something from America and share about God's love and that Jesus loves them and share just the basics about Jesus. And even in our house, one of the greatest things that we saw that brought people in and helped them to just think about Christianity was our household, how we interacted with Jesus, with our son. What a Christian household looked like. And I think that's important for you to understand. It's not just your words that matter, but your actions, how you live your life, how you treat people at school, how you interact with your coworkers. It's not just your words, but it's your actions and your attitude as we look at unoffendable on our Sunday morning study. That I can handle hardship and have joy, that I can go through cancer and still trust God. That I can have loss and horrible things happen, but have a peace in Christ. What's fascinating too is these disciples had said that they left everything and followed him. They cast off all their stuff and then they were going to go and share the gospel to tell people you can cast off your sins and to cast off that fear of judgment and have forgiveness. And so the question is to consider, God's not calling you to leave everything, is he? You don't have to leave your job. Don't have to sell all these things, but how can you prioritize sharing the gospel more? And again, it doesn't even, maybe it's not even specific words. Hopefully you can get to the gospel, but sometimes it's looking at your attitude and your actions and saying, how can I share Jesus more? And how can I get people the gospel? How can I invite people to church? How can I get them Jesus? But to not make it all about you. Don't go fishing without Jesus. It's all about the gospel. It's all about Christ and his redemption and forgiveness. But in all of this, I want to remind you, you're not alone. You have this whole community, this body of Christ, and this body of Christ all over the world. And most of all, you have Jesus going with you. The Holy Spirit, who God says will give you the words of what to say. And maybe the encouragement to pray boldly. Ask God to put you in those situations, to give you opportunities to share the word, to be with people, but to go fishing with Jesus, to catch more souls for the gospel. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please stand.